Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to break down the NBA slate for you guys. Excited, it's a 9-game slate of Wednesday. You guys know how it is on Wednesdays. Jam-packed with games and always a pretty good slate. Wednesdays never disappoint in the NBA. Maybe from a fantasy perspective sometimes, but never from, you know, the amount of games. We always have a good amount, and really excited to deliver these games for you guys. So let's get started talking about them. First game on the slate we have for you is the Phoenix Suns and the Indiana Pacers. And this game is definitely one game we're going to want to target. 216.5 team total. We got the Suns going up against the Pacers. And Pacers are going to be the home team, and they are currently at 7-point home favorites. On the Sun side of the ball, I mean, this situation is very simple for me pretty much all the time. It's Devin Booker and it's TJ Warren. That's kind of what I do. I just go with those two and kind of call it a day. I don't want to mess around with Tyler Ulis, Dragic Bender, and Tyson Chandler, their current situation. Sure, the other day we had Greg Monroe, and that was, you know, because he got the start. That made a lot of sense. One of the issues that we're having with the Suns is we just don't know what they're going to do until, like, up the lineup lock. Some days they tell us, hey, one guy's sitting, so then this guy's going to play a lot. And that's big news. When we get that, we can jump on them. But until then, I mainly just look at Booker and look at Warren. And their prices on Fantasy Draft right now, Warren is $1,000 less than Booker. I think I try and find that $1,000 and get up to Booker. I like him in this spot, but it just depends on the price difference on each site. And that's kind of how I would approach those two. I think Booker has the harder matchup, but I still think Warren's a good play for cheap, and I still think Booker's a good play because the upside is insane with him. We all know how he is, and I don't know if he feels snubbed from the All-Star game, but, you know, he didn't make the All-Star game. I know there was some talks about it on Twitter from the Suns beat writers hoping that he would get in, but he did not get in. So, yeah, definitely think this is a pretty good spot for Warren and Booker, and that's kind of it. Just kind of pass on the other guys. I know I like normally rostering against the Pacers. I like taking centers, but I just don't know which center is going to play. That's the problem. I don't know who's going to get the real run between Chandler, Len, and Monroe. It's just a mess. So I just think it's mainly Booker and Warren until I get some more information on that leading up to lineup lock. Let's move on and start talking about the Pacers. All right, so what do we do with the Pacers side of the ball? The Pacers are definitely going to be a team that we want to target today. They're going up against the Suns, right? This is a, you know, I always say this is a goal-minded DFS, a team that you want to target for sure. The Victor Oladipo is probably my favorite guy here in this spot. He's the guy I definitely think I'm going to end up targeting a lot. It's just his price is expensive, right? That's one of the issues. It feels weird paying $7K for Oladipo, but this could be a huge game for him, and I like him a lot in tournaments. Cash games, if you have the money for him, sure, I like him too. Think he's going to be a really good play on this slate. We like targeting a lot of guys in DFS, you know, when we play against the Suns. So, like, Darren Collison, of course, he becomes in play. Sure, he's a fine guy, like Bogdanovich for cheap. Sure, right, he can have that upside type of game in this spot. So I don't mind them for cheap, but not guys that are, like, you know, I'm just jamming into my lineups. I think they're fine guys and get a little bit of exposure to, no big deal. Sabonis, I like him a lot, and Thad Young. Those are two guys I definitely think I'm going to end up targeting, as long as Miles Turner is for sure going to be out on this game. We don't have official word that he is out. He's currently questionable in a game time decision. Luckily, we'll have that leading up to lineup lock, so that is great news to hear. And if he does, like, he'll likely come off the bench. So that might not even hurt a guy like Sabonis too much, but hopefully he just doesn't play, and then we can just load up on Sabonis and Thad Young. They're going to be in great spots and guys that you can definitely get exposure to as well. Let's move on to the next game and talk about the New Orleans Pelicans and the Charlotte Hornets. It's a 223.5 team total, with Charlotte as 2-point home favorites. This is definitely a spot where we can target some guys. On the New Orleans Pelicans side, it's tough, right? DeMarcus Cousins, he had that big, massive 100-point game the other day. What do we do with him? I think I'm fading him. I think it's really simple. With Dwight Howard defense and just, you know, the Hornets being ranked second against centers this year, I don't think this is a spot to really play Cousins. And there's going to be inflated ownership from the other day. I'm going to pass on DeMarcus Cousins on this slate. If we're not playing DeMarcus Cousins, I think Anthony Davis is a fine tournament play. I think the pivot because of ownership is great too. They did just play a double overtime game, so I am slightly worried about the Pelicans here in this spot, just kind of having a little bit of tired legs. But yeah, I think Anthony Davis is a fine tournament play. Sure, he's someone that you can play. I don't know, but I just don't think I'm going to be paying for him. I think he's one of those guys that would maybe mix in my tournaments if I was playing a lot of lineups, but I don't play a lot of lineups. I just play, you know, one or two lineups here and there, and then just load it up with the money on it. So that's kind of how I approach, and kind of, I just don't think Davis is going to make it for me unless I, you know, feel like I have to pay up at power forward today. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's going to end up fitting for me at this time. Rondo, Drew Holiday, Moore, all these other guys. Again, I don't think I'm going to play them today. I just think it's a fine spot to fade. I don't mind Rondo in tournaments against Kemba Walker defense in this high, you know, total game. I think that if you're building, you know, 20 to 50 lineups or even more than that, right? Anything more than 20, I don't mind putting him on one. And then, like, you know, as the higher you get up from 20, you know, keep adding, maybe get like 5% of Rondo. I don't hate it. He can have those crazy ceiling games, but not expecting it for sure. Rondo can be a little bit at random, has a wide range of outcomes. But yeah, I think that's kind of how I'm going to approach the Pelicans today on this slate. Up next, we got the Charlotte Hornets, and man, this is definitely going to be a spot to like. I mean, how do we not love anyone playing in the Pelicans? Their defense is horrendous. Their pace is fast. I mean, it's great for DFS. I think Dwight Howard is a good cheap option that you can obviously play. He's fine at his price. Not a guy I'm jamming into my lineups or anything. I think he's like a good play and he makes the player pool, but I'm not going like out of my way just to mash him in my lineups at this current time. Price is good though on fantasy draft for sure. On drafting specifically, I mean, 8,200, that's a really good price tag too. I think he's more of a play on fantasy draft and DraftKings. I play a little bit more FanDuel, so that's kind of, I don't think he'd fit over there. But on these sites, yeah, that price just, for some reason, he's way too cheap. He just should not be that price tag. It's so, yeah, Dwight Howard's definitely in play here on this slate for sure. Can't sleep on him on this spot. I know Cousins is, you know, obviously a stud and whatnot, but yeah, Dwight can definitely get it done in this spot. Next, we have Kemba Walker. He's someone to definitely like here in this spot. I know the price is a lot. It feels expensive, 15.5K, but he can have a massive game here. I mean, Rondo defense is one of the best to target in the league. I mean, there's not a lot of point guards like you feel like you want to pay. I mean, there's some point guards to pay up for, but there's not like the Russell Westbrook, right? There's not him on the slate or Curry. There's only Chris Paul, Lillard, and like Kyrie. So I don't know. I really think Kemba's like in play. I know the price is not my favorite, but last two games has had more than 40 fantasy points per game. I mean, this is definitely a good spot for Kemba. So I don't want to sleep on him. If I have the money to spend on him, I will. It's just the question is, will I have that money? I don't think I will, but I do think he's in play. And it's things, because I want to get exposure to Charlotte, and you just kind of heard my answers on Kemba Walker and Dwight Howard, and they're kind of wishy-washy. They're fine plays, but I just don't know if I have the money at that position for them. So that's going to be kind of one of my worries. And if I can't get exposure to them, I mean, I think there's other guys to get exposure to, right? I don't want to go Nick Batum for cheap, but I think you can. I think I'd rather just go Mike Kidd-Gilchrist for really cheap. Mike Kidd-Gilchrist, not one of my favorite rosters. I get it. And he's definitely, you know, he's, you know, expected to play, but you never know what that injury he has with his foot. But I do think, like, getting some exposure to one of these cheap wing players is not a bad idea. Maybe even a Marvin Williams. I don't hate that. I mean, I'm just trying to find ways to get exposure to the Pelicans' terrible defense. And if I can't do it for expensive, I don't mind looking for cheap in a tournament. I think one of these guys could have a big game. It's just kind of tough trying to figure out which one it would be. All right, let's move on to the next one. We got the Utah Jazz and the Detroit Pistons. 199.5 team total here with the Pistons as 2-point home favorites. This Pistons game is probably the game I just, like, fade entirely. I really, really don't want to play anyone in this spot. It's 199.5 team total. We have a Jazz team that now returns Gobert. Slow-paced game. I'm just not going to be a fan of this one. I'm not going to play anyone on the Jazz side. Don't think there's a really great matchup for anyone. I think maybe Rubio, but I don't know. Rubio burned me the other day. I don't really want to deal with that. Gobert could have a great matchup too. I don't hate him. His price is still kind of cheap, so that's maybe the one guy against a guy like Andre Drummond. Sure, I think that's fine. We know he'll get tons of time on the court, but I'm not going to play many Jazz here in this spot. Pistons side, I really don't want anyone either. I get it. Andre Drummond, the all-star snub. I love the all-star snub narrative. I know you guys know I love narratives, but this is just not an easy matchup. I mean, this is tough. It's just not going to be easy against a guy like Gobert. So I think the Andre Drummond is a fine fade. I don't need to play him for the all-star snub narrative. If I played anyone, it'd be Tobias Harris because of the usage that he sees. Without Reggie Jackson in there, I mean, he just has a lot of upside. And sure, that's the guy I would play. But other than that, don't need to be playing Ish Smith at his price or Avery Bradley. I'm just going to pass. No need for me to play any of these guys in this game. I think it's a good fade spot. If I play anyone, if it ends up happening, it would be Gobert on the Utah Jazz side and then maybe Rubio. And then on the Pistons, it'd maybe be Tobias Harris, but that's about it. Let's move on to the next game. This is maybe the game of the night. I guess game of the night from the, I don't know if it's the game of the night, but it's one of them, right? Because of all the value we already have. Chicago Bulls, Philadelphia 76ers. 220 team total. Sixers as 5-point home favorites. This is going to be a fast-paced game that you're going to want to get exposure to with all the value in it. First and foremost, we have the Bulls, right? They're going to be without Chris Dunn. That's going to help Jerry and Grant. He's got a little priced up at 11-4, but I still think he's fine. I want to take guards here, right? The guards against Sixers have been very profitable. So there's a guy like Zach LaVine, who's 11.4K. Again, that price, it's not my favorite price tag, but like on FanDuel, I like him a little more, where he's like a 5,100. I think that's a really nice price tag. Last game, he had 24 minutes and he got 26 fantasy points. He's going to remain on that 24-minute limit. So if you can stomach that 24-minute limit, like, just know that's what you're getting with him at that price. I don't know if I want to play him. I think I would rather go with a guy like a Justin Holiday or a Jerry and Grant instead. I think going Jerry and Grant makes more sense at the same price on Fantasy Draft. I think Holiday is a good play too at 11K. Like I just mentioned him before, but want to mention him again. Targeting guards with the Sixers is a great idea, especially in this spot. I think we want to get exposure to them. I like Lauri Markkanen a ton. He's a really talented guy that not a lot of people know about. The big issues we've had with the Bulls recently is they have kind of like a roulette wheel at the forward. Not a lot of guys get all the minutes, but Markkanen always gets his 30. Always seems pretty safe. I think Markkanen is in a pretty good spot here. I actually like him in tournaments. I'm mad I didn't play him the other day. For some reason, I clicked on Drew Holiday because all day long I heard how cheap he's been and how good he's been performing, and I never play that dude, and of course he disappointed me in that double overtime game. And if I would have just played Markkanen like I wish I could have on DraftKings, I probably would have won a lot more money. I was like finishing like, I think, top 50 in some GPPs, so like that would have been an extra 14 points. Would have been huge for Markkanen, but whatever. I'm just so mad I took Drew Holiday because I never liked taking that dude. But Markkanen is a guy I love. Like I said, I had him in cash games the other day. He just fit my last spot too, and I was like, I love the matchup against the Pelicans, so it was a good spot for him. He didn't shoot amazing, so he really didn't shoot that well in that spot. I just think this could be a really good spot for him. They're going to need him a lot. This game's going to be fast-paced. I like Markkanen a ton. Besides the guards, that's the other guy I really want to get exposure to. Other than that, I'm not going to mess with Robin Lopez and the other bench players. I just don't think it's too necessary. The one bench guy I would play on the Bulls is Denzel Valentine. And I don't know why I loved this kid in college, but I never play him in DFS for some reason. And I've kind of missed the boat, and I'm kind of mad that I missed the boat because I think he's a good player, and I thought he'd be a decent player in the NBA. So I'm mad I missed out, and I don't know if this is the time to get on, but it's obviously a matchup I like, but I don't think this is the right time. I'll have to wait until another time in the industry to get on Valentine, I feel like. But so until then, I probably won't be playing him. Other than that, though, like I said, guards and Markkanen are kind of the approach I'm taking with the Bulls here. Let's move on and talk about the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, this is really the game to target. I'm not too far from Philly. If they need a point guard, I can sign a contract now and head on out there and play for them. If they need me to, I'm willing. But all jokes aside, they have no point guard. There's literally no one. TJ McConnell's out. Fultz is out. Bayless is out. JJ Redick's out. Everyone's hurt. So we're going to want to have exposure to some of these guards. TLC will probably get some run. I'm assuming Demetrius Jackson, and then I think Larry Drew's there too, so he could get some ball handling. It's going to be something that we find out throughout the day, so I don't really know. There could be like some random guy that they say starts that we don't know of, like maybe Demetrius Jackson. I don't know if he's the guy that could end up getting that. He just signed a two-way contract, though. I can see them just playing Embiid as like basically having like Simmons obviously as like the, he's obviously the point guard, right? But, Simmons and Embiid in there and just like kind of fill it out with guys like Covington and TLC, let them run tons of minutes, and Justin Anderson. Those are probably like and Sarge, those four that I just mentioned. So Anderson, TLC, Covington, and Justin Anderson are probably going to be the biggest, biggest beneficiaries, because I think what they're going to do is Simmons will obviously run the offense for sure. And then what will happen is Embiid will be in there too with tons of usage, and they'll be basically the primary ball handlers. And the other guys will just be wing guys that are in there grabbing rebounds, getting assists off touch passes and shooting tons of shots up and, drives to the basket and threes. That's going to kind of be their role. And I think there's just, good opportunities here, especially against a Bulls team. Like getting Dario Saric and Covington, like those are probably, two of my favorites, like just from a raw points perspective. The thing is, though, we have Justin Anderson for cheap, right? If he's going to get a lot of run, I think there's reasons to like him a lot. It's just, it'd be a really, really good spot at a cheap price tag. We've seen him have big games in the past. So I think Justin Anderson is not a bad play. TLC, too, there's just a lot of opportunity for him. So I like him as well. He can be frustrating, one of those stand-in-the-corner guys, but if you want your, like, safe cash game exposure to this game, I feel like it's, like, living in the range of Covington and Sarge. Those are probably the two that you'd want the most exposure to, for sure. Don't mind him, he's pretty pricey, and I think I see myself spending my money elsewhere at center, so I don't know. I just don't think I'm going to spend up for him. I think there's cheaper guys I can go to. 18.3K, sure, if you want to pay for it, I get it, but I don't know. Maybe on Fantasy Draft it makes more sense than some other sites, but I don't know. I don't know if I see myself paying up for Embiid on this slate. I like Covington and Saric. Those are kind of the main guys I'm looking at right now. I get it. You know, Simmons, he's been struggling throughout the year, and sure, like, you can get exposure. If you want to play him, sure, go for it. But I've been fading, and I'm going to keep fading. He's just been really bad, and I'm not going to mess around with him at this time. I'm going to just leave him be, and until his price just gets cheaper and cheaper, I'll pass on him. But again, like I said, the main beneficiaries are probably one of those value guys between, like, a TLC and maybe a guard that emerges, and Justin Anderson, and then, like, Covington and Sarge are the two guys I love. Probably, like, getting exposure that I feel really comfortable about that. So I have some upside as well. Let's go on to the next game. We have the Toronto Raptors and the Atlanta Hawks, 214.5 team total. And, man, I hate rostering the Raptors. I feel like I'm, like, a big Raptors hater, and I don't mean to be a huge Raptors hater. Just pretty frustrating team, the roster, just in my opinion. Serge Ibaka's price is way too cheap, 9.7K. It's just weird to see his price at that. I know DraftKings, he's 4,900, which is crazy. I haven't seen that price tag in forever, so have to like Serge Ibaka for the upside that he can have. Don't think he's a bad play against a Hawks team that struggles defensively. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are really just guys I don't roster a ton. It's a good spot for him, though. I get it. If you want to play them, I wouldn't talk you out of it. I'd maybe talk you out of DeMar DeRozan, because I just don't like rostering him a lot. But I think Kyle Lowry's a fine point guard play. There's some at the top that you can like, and he makes a list that you can maybe like, but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to play him. I just think I'm going to fade the Raptors today, maybe get a Ibaka exposure, but that's it. Maybe that hurts me. I know it's against the Hawks. It's a great spot. 214.5 team total. Raptors have 110.25 total. Like, so maybe it's something I'm going to have to, like, take me throughout the day to kind of get on some Raptors. But for now, I'm not on them. And I just don't know. I hate playing them. It's a bias that I have that I need to fight through at times. And it kind of takes me throughout the day to kind of do that. So if I get exposure to anyone, it's probably Ibaka for cheap, and then Kyle Lowry, and then Nat's about it. But let's move on to the next team. We got the Atlanta Hawks. Do we want to play anyone on them against the Raptors? I don't think so. Maybe on Fantasy Draft, but like other sites, I don't think so, because they're starting to get priced up. Bazemore at 10.2 is really cheap on Fantasy Draft, and Schroeder at 12.5. I know it's not an easy matchup, but that's a really great price tag on Schroeder. So I get wanting to play those two, but that's the only guys I would play, and mainly on the Fantasy Draft format. I'm not a huge fan of their price tags throughout the industry. You know, Bazemore is now at, he's at 5,700. That's not that bad on FanDuel. Let me see what he is. Let me see what Schroeder is. Schroeder is 7,400, which isn't it's not a bad price tag. Again, I mean, this is not the greatest matchup against a Raptors team. So I don't know. It's a 9-game slate, and I don't think I need to be playing many Hawks, but if I do play any, it's really always just Schroeder and Bazemore, and that's it. And I kind of move on. So if someone said, hey, I'm playing Schroeder or Bazemore on this slate, I'd be like, I don't hate it. Other guys, I want to play Prince with that dislocated finger. I'll pass on that. You don't need to be playing Plumlee. He's terrible. Ilyasova, pass. And all those bench guys you don't need to mess around with. No need to do that at all. Let's move on to the next game. We got the San Antonio Spurs and the Memphis Grizzlies. 195.5 team total, the lowest we've seen in a while. Definitely not a game that we're going to love to target. And it's weird because this game has a really low total, but this could be a game that I want to get some exposure to. Reason why is because the injury situations they have there. No Kawhi Leonard, Rudy Gay's still out, Chandler Parsons is out, James Ennis is out, Monte Ginobili, he didn't play on Tuesday, but we don't know if he'll play today. So that's something to look for sure. Don't know about, for sure, like, you know, Pau Gasol sat yesterday, so, like, does LaMarcus Aldridge maybe sit on the second half back-to-back? I don't know. Jermichael Green injury, Jerome Martin, I mean, there's just injuries everywhere here, so there's definitely things to look at, and especially with the, we'll start with the Memphis front court, right? Again, this is not a great matchup for Memphis. Slow-paced game, and on top of that, we're dealing with a team like the Spurs who are really good up front, but Jermichael Green is out. Jarrell Martin is dealing with a knee. Then we have like Ivan Rabb. He's a guy that I guess could play for Memphis. And then it's Marc Gasol and then Deonta Davis and Brandon Wright. I mean, there's not a lot of bodies here on the front court. So that Martin news is going to be big and important. So we have to wait on that for sure. So be on the lookout for the Martin news. Again, I don't want to get tons of exposure to these Grizzlies, but I do think that there's reason to want to get exposure to maybe some of the front court, depending on Martin's status. When you look at the guards on Memphis, I get wanting to play Tyreke Evans, like, but at this price, he's kind of priced up, and sure, he gets you pretty safe, like, in the 30s or so, but I don't think we need to be playing him. I'm not going to play any of these guards. I get maybe going, like, a Dylan Brooks because there's just so many minutes for him. I'll get his safe, like, you know, last, I'll just read you the game logs. I like doing this because it helps put it in perspective. 29 minutes, 30 minutes, 27, 31, 26, 35, like, the last, you know, six games has 26 minutes or more. I mean, that's great. And then the production is 15.8 fantasy points, 21, 32.6, 27.5, 24. I mean, just good production out of him. So I don't mind him as maybe a value option. Not my favorite play, but I do think it's a pretty solid, solid play on the slate. Solid value. It's not the greatest because there's better ones in the Philly spot, but it's fine. Wouldn't hate it for sure. Let's talk about the Spurs, though. What do we do with them, with Duante, or is it Duante? I don't know how to say his name, but Murray. Murray is a guy that I love on the Spurs. He used to play for Washington, a guy that I've been kind of cheering for. I liked him in college DFS, and definitely like him now in the NBA. He had a big game for me last night, 52.5 fantasy points, had 30 against the Pacers. These are in his first two starts, basically. Since Tony Parker said, hey, I'm not the starter anymore. The keys are to you now, Murray. You are going to drive this ship. So Murray is not a bad play. A guy I think I want to still get exposure to. Price has gone up, though, right? Price is not the minimum like it was. Now it's 9.2K. I still think he's in play, though, at that price. I still think he's a guy you want to get exposure to. Maybe not like an all-in kind of guy that we've had in the past, right? A guy that we've just been jamming in our lineups. But I still think he's a very good play. Something you want to get exposure to for sure. So don't sleep on Murray in this spot. I do worry, though, with it being like second half of back-to-back and stuff like that. You know, Spurs, they can be a little sketchy at times. This game is an 8 o'clock start, and lineups lock at 7. So kind of stay close to the computer and hopefully get some news in time on the Spurs. All right. LaMarcus Aldridge, sure, you can play him. I don't think this is the right spot for him. I get it. It's like the usage he sees is great and everything. Kyle Anderson, too, he's been really good, but again, I've talked about all these guys who I think are pretty good plays because of injuries, but this is such a low total. I don't want to get too much exposure to it, so don't go overboard with getting exposure to guys in these games because there's some, you know, we've already talked about a really great game, and there's a couple other good games coming up here. So, all right, let's go to the next one. Let's go to one I like. It's the Houston Rockets and the Dallas Mavericks. Typically don't like rostering Dallas players, but hey, this is a good spot for them. Gonna like them. Anyone against Houston I normally have exposure to for sure. Let's talk about the Rockets, though, first. James Harden, I really don't think I'm going to play him here in this spot. Totally get it. Totally understand it's James Harden, but he's now priced up, and he's priced up like he's playing 40 minutes a night. And he was only playing 34, and sure, he could jump to 40 today, but I don't know. I think it's strictly a tournament-only play, and if you think it's just like way too much low ownership on Harden, like if you're getting Harden at 5%, that's just crazy, and he's a guy that can go off on any night, and if we get word his minute limit restriction is gone, that's really big for Harden. So kind of have to wait on that news. That's how I feel. But I do like the idea of people aren't looking at Harden right now because he hasn't been doing much. And we can jump on him in tournaments soon here. Cash games, no thanks. But in tournaments, again, like if it's not today, right? Maybe the next time, maybe two starts from now. If Harden's been disappointing, no one's going to want to roster him. And you could eventually get him at like 5%. In a matchup that's maybe not even great. Like if he had the matchup against the Suns, sure, people would be all over Harden. But if Harden gets a matchup, that's just like a mediocre one, kind of like the Dallas one. It's not the greatest spot, but if you're getting him at like 5%, I'll sign up for that in tournaments because he can have that massive blow-up game and it just puts you ahead of the field for sure. So don't forget about that. I really don't want to play Chris Paul in this spot. I think it's a fine spot for him, but he's just like he's priced up like James Harden's gone. And because of that, I have to wait for that salary to go down a little bit. Sure, he can have big gains, but I don't think I want to play him here in this spot. Trevor Ariza gets a pile of minutes. I don't hate him. I don't think he's a bad play. I like Ryan Anderson a little bit. I could see him getting a decent run and shooting well from the three-point line. Dallas isn't that great at defending the three, so I could see Ryan Anderson having a good game. And then Clint Capella. We love to target the Dallas Mavericks with centers. That's definitely something to do. Clint Capella's price tag of 12.1K is too cheap. I love Clint Capella in this spot. He's a guy that I put in my player pool. I'd want to get exposure to for sure. Don't forget about Clint Capella. Love him in this spot. He's probably my favorite Rocket here and one of my favorite center plays, especially on like DraftKings too. DraftKings, he's way too cheap. FanDuel's a little priced up, but DraftKings, he is his like usual, I think, 66 way too cheap price tag. Let's look. Yep, 6,600, just way too cheap for Clint Capella. It's just, he's such a safe cash game play, along with having, has upside as well, too, just built in there. So he just feels like a great play over there on DraftKings. All right, let's talk about the Dallas Mavericks. Dennis Smith Jr. is probably the guy I like. The price tag is up, though. That's the only issue. 13.1K on Fantasy Draft. It's a little pricey for him, but I still think he's a good play. Still think there's, opportunity there for him to, you know, crush value. So I don't mind him here in this spot. JJ Barea, I don't mind playing him too. He's a fine play. Again, like most of these Mavericks, I think I'm going to want to get like a little bit exposure to. I think Harrison Barnes might be my favorite though. One thing to really like about Harrison Barnes is just the safety he brings and the upside. Like, he's one of those guys, like I talk about these guys that have like a really nice safe floor along with some upside. Like, they can have that upside game, like most guys can, but they just feel like they have that safe floor where they won't burn you and they could obviously win it for you, right? They could crush and then, you know, be like a key part of your team. So I like him here in the spot a little bit. Dirk Nowitzki is one of the guys I don't know. It's just like, old guy, do I want to play him here in this spot? He's cheap. I totally get it. You know, it's a cheap price tag for him, so I don't hate the play, but I don't know. I don't think it's necessary. The one thing that's nice is I could see him going up against Ryan Anderson a ton. I could see them bringing in, like, Salah Mejri to the matchup with Capella a lot. So I could see them getting Dirk a decent amount of run here. I could see him getting maybe, like, past the 24-minute mark, and this could be a great spot for him just to hit a ton of threes. So I would not sleep on Dirk here. I think this is not a bad spot for him if you need a cheap guy. But again, the upside just definitely feels a little bit limited. Maybe feels like more of a cash game play. Wesley Matthews, I don't know. He's not the sexiest play, but I get it. It's at Dallas playing a pretty fast-paced game, so I could see him fitting it. But for me, it's really Harrison Barnes and Dennis Smith Jr. are my main targets, and like JJ Barea a little bit too, because Barea, you know, coming off the bench could definitely definitely be in a pretty good spot to produce. So I could see a big upside game from him here. I know he's coming off an injury. That's the one concern, though, so tread lightly about that. It's mainly Dennis Smith Jr. and Harrison Barnes are probably my favorite targets here on the Dallas side of the ball. Let's move on to the next game, though. We have the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Portland Trailblazers. 213 team total with the Trailblazers as two-point favorites. And this is a late game, and it's really frustrating that's a late game because we really need Jimmy Butler news. That Jimmy Butler news is very important on this slate because if Jimmy Butler is out, we're going to like playing Nemanja Bjelica, right? He's the guy you're going to love. If Jamal Crawford's out, that's definitely going to help Georges Hunt. I believe that's the name, Marcus Georges Hunt. He'll be helped either way, even if Butler's out. But if Crawford's out, that's going to help him a ton. You look at his minutes the other day, he only played 21 and didn't have a good game. That's because he fouled out. He fouled out in the third quarter. He just got kind of handsy. I don't mind going back to the well on him for like a cheap option if you need to. I don't hate it if both those guys are out, but I don't know if we'll have that news. And if both those guys are out, there's reasons like Jeff Teague. I think he's going to be a guy to like Taj Gibson. There's reasons like him because of all the minutes he'll see and just opportunity and Karl-Anthony Towns. I know it's not the easiest matchup against Nurkic, but he could have a big game. So everything is relying on the Jimmy Butler news. I wish I could give you great analysis on this game, but we need that Jimmy Butler news. If we don't get the Jimmy Butler news, I'm probably just going to pass on this game because I really just don't want to mess around with it without knowing. I don't want to have to deal with that situation. So if there's no news, I'm going to pass on the Jimmy Butler thing and kind of call it a day. I do think it's not the best spot though for them. Like, Portland's not a team I'm loving to target. So if Jimmy Butler played, I wouldn't be all in on these plays on Minnesota. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's, if we get Jimmy Butler news, then we get on some of these Timberwolves. If not, I don't mind not getting a ton of exposure to these guys just because we have a lot of unknown scenarios here with no news on Butler. So hopefully we get that in time. I know it's a 10 o'clock start and a frustrating situation to deal with. I do like some guys on the other side, though. I love Damian Lillard in this spot. I think he's a really good play on this slate. He can be frustrating at times. You look at his game log and you're like, man, he hasn't had a big game in a while. It feels like he's had a couple here and there, but he doesn't have that like big Damian Lillard game. Is this the spot against the Timberwolves team that's been playing a little bit better defensively? I think it could be. I think it's a good spot for him for sure. I know. I wish he would have got snubbed from the All-Star game because then he would have a massive game, right? That's what he normally does. But he made the All-Star team this year, so congrats to Damian Lillard for finally making the All-Star team. I don't think he's a bad play. CJ McCollum, sure, right, for the same reasons like Lillard, you can like McCollum. Normally, if you like, guards against the Timberwolves. Only thing is, McCollum will probably deal with Wiggins' defense. If he's dealing with Wiggins' defense, that could be a problem. So maybe that funnels more into Lillard. Actually, the more and more I talk and think about it, it's probably just Lillard as the guy. Well, I don't really want McCollum here against dealing with Andrew Wiggins and possibly some Jimmy Butler. Like, depends if he plays, right? If Jimmy Butler defense is in there, that could be difficult for him. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's a spot just to play Damian Lillard and then call it a day. Well, maybe not necessarily. Nurkic, I don't mind in tournaments. I always don't mind him in tournaments because look what he does. I told you about this the other day. Narrative Street comes through. He had 47.9 fantasy points in 26 minutes against Denver. Had a massive game. So, I mean, he can always have those big games. And we're not scared of Carl Anthony Towns' defense. So, just a wide range of outcomes. And a guy that if you think he's in a good spot and you're playing a lot of lineups, I think you should always be like, okay, the price is good. He's in a good matchup. And just understand he could have a bad game. Let me just get a little bit over the field. So, say you think the field is going to be 2.5% on him, get 5%. If you think the field's going to be 5%, get 10%. If they're going to get 10%, then go maybe like to 15%. Like, you don't want to be super overexposed to Nurkic, but I think you want to be overweight at least. So that's the approach I would take with Nurkic. And I'm not going to mess around with any of these other Portland guys. I think we're good here. So let's go to the next game. Last game of the slate, we got the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Clippers. And this is an interesting game because we don't really like playing Celtics. At least I don't. It's just an unknown situation a lot, but we have some good spots for them, for sure. First of all, I want to mention now Al Horford for $6,700 on FanDuel is way too cheap for him. I like him a lot in this spot. He's going to be needed a lot offensively, because he's going to be guarding, I believe, Blake Griffin. I'm assuming Aaron Baines will probably be in there, maybe start against Willie Reed. I think that's kind of the approach they're going to take. And with them having Blake Griffin, Willie Reed, Montrezl Harrell, and even the possible return of DeAndre Jordan, this could be a really good spot for Al Horford just to be in there for a ton of minutes. So I like him a lot in this spot. The big seller is just his price tag. I mean, it's just way too cheap. So all around the industry, I like Al Horford. I think he's a really good play. Kyrie Irving, he's, you know, the straw that stirs the drink on that team. He's the everything. He's the guy that makes things work. But I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. It just seems like he has to have like a massive like point production type of game, like just from a raw points perspective. Sure, he was fine yesterday, but that took 33, you know, real life points to do that. I feel like I need Kyrie to shoot lights out in order to kind of have the big game. I do think this is a spot where he can shoot lights out. I kind of like him here a little bit more than usual. So Kyrie, I think, could have a really big game here. I like him a little bit in this spot. I'm probably not going to – I think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are fine to mix and match throughout your lineups, but I don't want to get overexposed to them. And I'm not going to mess around with Marcus Smart or any of those other guys. It's really Kyrie and Horford and then maybe mixing and matching like Tatum and Brown. Just because you want to get tons of exposure to this game for a good reason, right? It's just going to be – it's a great game environment, 217.5 team total, and the Celtics are one-point road underdogs. And after losing to the Lakers last night and, like, kind of a heartbreaker, you know, Marcus Smart kind of took them not the brightest shot that he could have. And Kyrie Irving was a little disappointed about it, so I wouldn't be shocked if Kyrie kind of put the ball in his hands a little more and set themselves up for victory because it was definitely a heartbreaking loss for the Celtics. I don't know about heartbreaking, but it was definitely disappointing because it was – start of a road trip. They talked about they were stressing. I saw a lot of interviews like they were stressing about how they have to have a big road trip. And the start for the loss to the Lakers is not a good start. So they need to win this game, I feel like. They don't want to start out 0-2 on a road trip like that on the West Coast. So this is probably going to be a game that they're going to be firing away and pretty locked in on. All right, let's move on to the Clippers side of the ball. And still have some injuries to deal with. Like I said, we have DeAndre Jordan is likely doubtful for this game. Gallinari, he practiced on Monday. He's getting closer. I'm assuming he doesn't play. So we'll have to wait on that, though. Maybe we'll get news. We got Juwan Evans. He was ruled out the other day. Assuming he doesn't play, but don't know. Austin Rivers, he is still out. So, it's still kind of similar situation, right? Guys, main targets on this team are probably going to be Blake Griffin. He's going to see a ton of usage. This could be a really good spot for him. I like him in this spot. He had a big game against Minnesota the other day. I sadly did not have him that day. But, he's been really just crushing it and had a triple-double. I don't know if he has a triple-double in his cards again, but I think he's a solid guy. I know he's kind of priced up, but I think he's solid for around like that average of 40 fantasy points on this game, and it has that ceiling to obviously crush, like you saw the other day. Lou Williams is probably the guy I like the most, though. He just got all-star snubbed, and if you saw on Twitter, all he kept tweeting was like, LOL, and like, I can't believe I got snubbed. So he knows, like, he is aware that he should have been an all-star. He's aware that he didn't get voted in, and he's not happy about it. So I could see one of those massive Lou Williams games. So I don't know if I'm going to play in my cash games. I want to. I want to cheer for the guy that got All-Star snubbed. I love that. I love that narrative. It's great. But again, he's kind of expensive, so I don't know if I want to pay that price tag for him. 15.5K is a lot for a guy that comes off the bench and is, you know, shooting reliant. So I don't know. Again, it's like I really, really want to play him. I would love to, but I just don't know if I'm going to be able to put in my cash games. Love in tournaments, though. I think you got to get exposure to him because I could see a massive game from him in this spot. Other than that, like, you can mix and match Montrezl Harrell and Teodosic because you want to get exposure to this game, but it's mainly Lou Williams and Blake Griffin and the guys. There's not, like, there's not a ton of value in this game that I'm seeing that I love. So that's about it. That'll wrap up the slate for me, guys. Again, thanks a lot for listening. Think it's a pretty fun one. And again, just enjoy the NBA while we can until it gets crazy. Because like once we get past February, it's going to get nuts. And there's going to be random guys that you've never heard of that we're going to be rostering. Or maybe you have heard of. They're just really not great basketball players playing 40 minutes a night. So thanks a lot for joining me, guys. Again, enjoy doing the podcast. If you have any questions about the slate, feel free to give me a follow on Twitter at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. And before I get out of here, just got news. Jimmy Butler and Jamal Crawford are unlikely to play. So with them being unlikely to play, we're going to have a lot of interest in Timberwolves now. Nemanja Bjelica, he'll be a premier value that we'll want to get exposure to for sure. Price is still pretty cheap around the industry, so don't sleep on Bjelica. He's probably the guy you want to lock in your lineups now. He's a key to help make things work at the small forward position. And then, you know, like I talked about, Teague and Gibson and Towns, they're all going to have really secure minutes and a lot of shot opportunities. So don't sleep on the Timberwolves tonight. And on that note, I'll get out of here. You'll have Dan Bach tomorrow, I believe. I'm done for the week. Well, not done for the week. I'll be back Friday like I always am. So thanks a lot for listening, guys. For me, Travis Mangone, I am out.